In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have before us this morning two of the most famous Bible passages of all. John 3:16, called the Gospel in the Nutshell, which every child has memorized in Sunday school and vacation Bible school, that God loved the world and showed it by giving His only Son, so that believing in Him we do not perish in hell, but have eternal life. And just as famous is Ephesians 2:8 and 9, that you are saved, that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not by the works that we do, but by what Christ has done for us. Today we talk about love that is shown by giving. Today we see from these texts of Holy Scripture that love is shown to be love by what it gives. It's easy to say, I love you. But to show that I love you, I do for you. I give gifts to you. I help you to show that the love is real. God showed His love, not just by saying it, and He did say it, God is love. He showed His love by giving His only Son into death in our place upon the cross. Love is shown by giving. A husband or wife shows they love their spouse by giving their spouse their commitment for their whole life. A child shows they love his or her parents by obeying them. If you are a teacher, you show your students that you love them by preparing the lessons and by giving individual attention to each student. You give to them as a teacher because you love them. And for the Christian who sees the poor and the needy and all manner of need for mercy, the Christian in love, in deeds of mercy, helps those who are in need of it. God gave His only Son. And Jesus Himself, quoting from the Old Testament lesson from Numbers today, gives a type from the Old Testament that is fulfilled in Christ. For Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness so that they would look and live, so I, the Son of Man, will be lifted upon the cross so that all who believe in Him will have eternal life. When the Israelites had been bitten by the poisonous serpents, the bronze serpent was lifted up so all who looked at it could be healed. Christ was lifted up on the cross so that all who look to Him have eternal life. The serpent of sin and Satan bit us and brought death and hell into our world. But then Christ was bitten, if you will, by the curse in our place upon the cross. And by looking up to Him who crushed the head of the serpent by dying, we have eternal life. God shows His love by giving His only Son. So our theme is, it just seems so simple to say, God loves the world. The fact is, He showed that love by giving His only Son on the cross for you. And if He gave His Son on the cross for you, that means that He does love you. So this morning, as we look at these texts, there's three things we want to highlight. First of all, the love of God in the person of Christ. Secondly, the darkness of the unbelieving world. And thirdly, the light of Jesus Christ that shines brightly. So let's first of all consider the love of God in Christ Jesus. God loved the world. The word is agape. It's a love that's centered on loving the other, expecting nothing in return. God loved the world by giving His one and only Son. And when He gave His only Son, who would be nailed to the cross, would be lifted up on that cross at Calvary, would be cursed by the curse that should have fallen upon us, fell upon him who died in our place, was placed in a tomb, and rose on Easter Sunday. That is God's gift to you and me. That's the focus of Lent. Whoever believes in him, Jesus says, will not perish in hell, but will have eternal life. And the proof that God loves you and me is Jesus says, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Without Christ, the world was already condemned in its unbelief. But he sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. He does say, Jesus, that whoever does not believe in Jesus is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, unbelievers' sins are still upon them. All the sins they've ever committed, like a ball and chain, like a weight pressing them down, they are condemned already because they will not believe that Christ is their righteousness. But whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned because you're saved by grace. The picture here is that since Christ died in our place, the condemnation has been removed. As Paul says in Romans, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What love that the judgment that we deserve was placed upon him. He put the tattered rags of our sin upon himself, and he gives you in holy baptism a royal robe of righteousness. This is the proof of God's love. I read this week about a certain medieval monk who announced that the Sunday evening service would be on the topic, in his sermon, would be the love of God. So the people gathered into this darkened cathedral as the sun had gone down. There was no more light coming through the cathedral windows, and the congregation gathered. And the monk lit one candle, and he walked up to the altar, and first he took the candle at the crucifix, and he illumined the crown of thorns. Then he moved the candle to the two wounded hands and his wounded feet. Then he moved the candle to the marks of the spear wound. And then in the quiet of the church, he blew out the candle and he left the chancel. And that was the sermon. By the object lesson of looking at the wounds on that crucifix, he was showing them that that is where you see the love of God in the sacrifice of Christ for you and for me. The fact that he did that shows you that he loves you. Now that Jesus talks about primarily the love of God in the person of Christ. But Jesus is also realistic. We know, as Jesus said, in the midst of Christ, there's a dark world around us. So Jesus continues. Well, this is judgment. The light, that is Jesus, has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Because of our old Adam, original sin, we don't like the light. When people are in a room in the darkness and doing things they're not supposed to be doing, they do not want a light. When the light goes on, it hurts our eyes. When the light goes on, deeds are exposed. The unbelieving world loves the darkness and does not want the light of Jesus. Everyone who does wicked things, he says, hates the light, sins of thought, word, and deed, and does not want to come into the light, lest his deed should be exposed. Have you ever been out on an evening outside when there was no moon and it was pitch black outside? There were no lights anywhere. Maybe you were out in the country somewhere. And it was so dark, we say, you could cut the darkness with a knife. It was so thick, you couldn't even see the hand in front of your face. That's a picture of the darkness of unbelief. People don't have a clue. They are blind. They don't know who God is. They don't know who they are. They don't know about Jesus at all. And by the way, this is what the law does. The law that God gave us in the Ten Commandments acts as a mirror and shows the sinful darkness. The law is a mirror, and we look at it, we don't feel good about ourselves because we see the darkness in our own soul. The first commandment, no other gods before him, but we have lacked trust in God and have worried too much. The second commandment, don't take his name in vain, but we have cursed and sworn. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day, but we have neglected word and sacrament. The fourth commandment, obey your parents, but we have disobeyed those over us. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, we have hated other people. The sixth commandment, do not commit adultery, we have lusted after other people. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, we have taken things that belong to other people. The eighth commandment, don't bear false witness, we have gossiped behind other people's backs. And the ninth and tenth commandment, do not covet, we have been envious and not content with what we have. We sense the darkness around us in the world and the darkness in our own soul. And that is why we need the light of Jesus. If the love of God has come into the world in the person of Christ, if the world around us and our own sinful flesh is dark, then we treasure the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is. One little light can light up an entire room. One person, Jesus Christ, appeared, and he has lit up the entire world for all time. Whoever does what is right, Jesus says, comes to the light, that it may clearly be seen that his deeds, like a good tree that bears good fruit, have been carried out in God. Think of how the light came into your life. Somebody, your parents, your grandparents, or yourself, were brought to holy baptism, and a water and word in holy baptism was placed upon you. You were connected to Christ's death and his resurrection. Drown the old Adam so the new man can come forth, the light of Christ, in your baptism. Think of how you've heard countless sermons preached by pastors who proclaim the light of Christ. Think of the Sunday school teachers, the vacation Bible school teachers, and your own parents who opened up the Bible and taught you the word of Christ. You hear the word of absolution, you have light in your life. When we receive Holy Communion, Christ's body and blood, we have light. I don't know about you, the older I get, the more I appreciate light, because it's harder to see things. And I got to have bifocals and trifocals to see anything. And if the lights are too dim, I can't even read anything anymore. And the light goes on, you can see. You can see other people, you can see their faces, you can read. The darkness, even though it's around us, like St. Paul said that the old Adam is dead in trespasses and sins. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. There's disobedience, passions of the flesh, children of wrath, mankind living in darkness. In the middle of that, like a bright candle, comes the light of Christ. Paul said, God is rich in mercy of his great love for us. What did he do? He made us alive with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Seated with him in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, even now, by the riches of his grace, his kindness in Christ Jesus, you were saved by grace, the gift of faith, the acronym for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And now, as a good tree bears good fruit, we are his workmanship, and did you know he has good works prepared already for you to do? Why? Because you're walking in the light. In conclusion, I read this week about a story of a good example of a father giving of his life for his son, like Jesus gave his life for us as a proof of his love. There was a farmer in North Carolina, and he was driving his carriage with his two horses into town, and he stopped in front of a store, and suddenly there was a loud bang, and the horses spooked, and they took off with the carriage and the wagon. And the man sprang in front of them, and he grabbed onto the reins and to the bridle. And the maddened horses, which were frightened and scared, stormed and dashed down the street, and the man was holding on to the bridles, getting crushed by the horses. And finally, in a frenzy, the horses rose up on their haunches and came down upon the man and crushed him. And he came near and close to death. And the people came up to the bloodied man, found him in death's last agony, and asked him, why did you sacrifice your life for your horses and wagon? Why didn't you just let go? And the man said, go look in the wagon. And they went, and there asleep on the straw was his little boy. His little boy was in the wagon. And in his dying breath, they realized this man sacrificed his own life so that his own little boy could survive and be safe. Jesus gave his life for us in a much greater way than that. The hymn verse, he died for you, he died for me, his blood atoned for our race. Oh, wonderful love, he came from above to suffer and die in our place. And Matthew Arnold, the theologian, loved the hymn that we just sang on Wednesday. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. God loves you, and he proved his love by giving his only son for you. Walk in the light and the love of Christ this Lenten season and throughout your life. God grant that for all of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.